Kuncha Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Hari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Asatara Sata Sri Sri Madhis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Iskand Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Amen. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Chapter 20, Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura. Today we'll do text 19 and 20. 19 doesn't have a purport, so I'll read it myself. Then we'll chant together text 20. So text 19. Visasarjatmana kayam nabhinandam stamomayam jagrahur yaksha rakshamsi Ratrim Shutrit Samud Bhavan. Translation. Out of disgust, Brahma threw off the body of ignorance, and taking this opportunity, yakshas and rakshasas sprang for possession of the body, which continued to exist in the form of night. Night is the source of hunger and thirst. Text 20. Shutridyam upashristas te tam jagdum abidu drugahu ma rakshatainam Yakshadvam ityuchu Shutrid Ardita. Shutridyam upashristaste Tam jagdum abidudruguhu Marakshatainam jakshadvam Ityu chu chu trit arditaha. Chu trit dhyam upashristas te. Tam jag Dham Abhidhu Dhruvahu Marakshatainam Jakshadvam Ityu Chu Chu Tridarditaha Shutridyamupashristaste Tajagdum Abhidhu Dhruvahu Marakshatainam Jakshadvam Ityu Chu Chu Tridarditaha Chidyam upashrasaste tam jagdam abhidhu dhruvahu rakshaktam jakshadvam ityu chu chu tridharga Vaishnavis. Yamabhashrasaste Tamjagdam Abhidhu Dhruvahu Arakshatainam Chakshadvam Shutridyam by hunger and thirst. Upashristaha, were overcome. Te, the demons, yakshas and rakshasas. Tam, Lord Brahma. Jagdum, to eat. Abhidhu Dhruvahu ran toward. Ma, do not. Rakshata, spare. Enam, him. Jakshadvam, eat. Iti, thus. Uchahu, said. Shutrit Ardita, afflicted by hunger and thirst. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Overpowered by hunger and thirst, they ran to devour Brahma from all sides and cried, spare him not, eat him up. purport. The representatives of the Yakshas and Rakshasas still exist in some countries of the world. It is understood that such uncivilized men take pleasure in killing their own grandfathers and holding a love feast by roasting the bodies. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, cannibalism. Such things do go on, even in the world today, among the uncivilized people and some of the so-called civilized people. Yeah, there are cases like that in the United States, you know, criminals, different criminals. Sometimes they do such things. And as far as the so-called uncivilized people, you know, they have different kinds of cannibalism in different parts of the world. One is called exo-cannibalism, and the other is called endo-cannibalism. And exo-cannibalism means they sometimes eat the flesh of humans from other tribes outside their own. And the case mentioned here in this purport would be a case of endo-cannibalism, cannibalism within one's own group. So that happens. It mentions they take their grandfathers and eat them. So that's an example of cannibalism within one's own group. And you know, if you look at nature documentaries, you sometimes see examples of cannibalism within a species where insects, you know, like the praying mantis, you know, after mating, I think, you know, sometimes I've seen these documentaries, they eat their mate. So it's mentioned in the purport, well, actually in the synonyms, that these beings who engage in these activities, like the Yakshas and the Rakshasas, are considered to be demons, demoniac beings. And apparently they exist from the beginning of the universe, when Lord Brahma is being engaged in the task of manifesting different kinds of bodies for conditioned souls to occupy. In Bhagavad Gita, the 16th chapter, which is called the Divine and the Demoniac Natures, Krishna says, Dvalbhutasarga logas lokes mean daivasura eva cha. From the beginning of creation, there are two types of created beings, the divine and the demoniac. And in his purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada explains what the difference is. He said the only difference is the divine are able to follow the regulations given in the scriptures, and the demoniac are not able to follow the regulations given in the scriptures. So, in one sense, it's by birth, yeah, you could say, you know, different forms of life are manifest because everyone, each conditioned soul, each jiva soul has the freedom to serve Krishna or not serve Krishna, you know, to serve oneself or the Supreme Self. So that opportunity is always there. And also one has to consider that at the beginning of each creation, it's not the first time the jiva souls have been through this, you know, because the creation is cyclical. You know, the universe is manifested for some time. Life is active in it, you know, during the kalpa, the day of Brahma. Life is manifest in the universe. And then during the night of Brahma, which follows that, it's dormant. And when the dormant souls are awakened, they are put in the kinds of bodies they had when the last creation or manifestation ended. So not everybody's going to start out at the highest position. So the bodies for those who are of more of the demoniac mentality are manifested by Brahma also. But it's, although one may be born in such a body, in a family that has such bodies, it doesn't preclude one's exercise of free will, and it doesn't preclude one being able to accept Krishna's mercy when it comes in the form of the teachings of a great devotee, pure devotee. Like Prahlad Maharaj was born in the family of demoniac persons, but he became a great pure devotee of the Lord. So, and our Krishna consciousness movement is based on the idea that anyone from any station of life in any part of the world may become, by the mercy of a pure devotee, a devotee of the Lord, if they follow the instructions of such a great personality. So these distinctions between the divine and the demoniac, they're partly a matter of the situation one is born into as a result of one's previous activities, but they're also based on the activities that one chooses to perform in this present life. So another thing I'd like to point out is that these categories are, in one sense, they're very clear, but in another sense, they're not. And, you know, maybe 10 chapters previously in the third canto, we went over the another time, the creations of Lord Brahma. And one of them is called the Deva Sarga. That means the creation of the devas. And there are 8 categories in under that heading. And one of them is the Vibhudhas, the demigods. But another one is the Asuras. And another one is the Yakshas and the Rakshasas. They all come under this heading of Deva Sarga. So we could kind of take it to mean Deva, to mean more powerful than a human being. You know, the yakshas and rakshasas, they are said to have their dwelling place 100 yojanas above the earthly level, about 800 miles up. You know, it's stated to be beyond the highest level that any being on this level, bird or anything, could fly. So they're considered higher than human being, and in that sense, they're part of the Deva Sarga. The Gandharvas and Apsaras are also part of the Deva Sarga. The Bhutas, Pretas, and Pisachas are another category, kind of like the ghostly types of beings, witches, and things like that. So this category of Deva or divine can also be looked at in that way. And we see the yakshas, sometimes they're depicted in this very demoniac way, but on the other hand, they are servants, the yakshas in particular, of Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. In that sense, they're sort of like the Yamadutas, who are very fearsome creatures, but they're the servants of Yamaraj. So, you know, they come up, the yakshas come up in a few places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. You know, Dhruva, when he was a child, he wanted to sit on the lap of his father. And his father had on his lap his stepbrother, Uttama. And Dhruva wanted to also sit on the lap of his father, but the mother of his stepbrother told him, "No, you can't. Your mother is not the favorite of the king." So Dhruva became very upset by that and went to his mother and said, "You know, why can't I sit on the lap of my father like my stepbrother?" She said, "Well, I'm very unfortunate. I'm not the favorite of your father. But, you know, if you're really determined to find some solution, then you can go to seek God. Where do I find God? Out in the forest. That's where the sages go." So he went, and he met Narada Muni, and yeah, he told Narada Muni, asked him, "Why are you out here in the forest? You're just a boy." And he said, "Well, I want a kingdom greater than my father." And he was also harboring some bad feelings toward his brother and stepmother. So Narada Muni gave him instructions how to meditate on the Supreme Lord. And he did that. And he got his benediction ultimately. He did get a kingdom greater than his forebears. And it also happened that his brother was killed by a yaksha. So by this time, Dhruva had become different. He had become more of a devotee, but he decided that it was his duty as a king to avenge the death of his brother. And he went into the Himalayan mountains to the town of Alakapuri, which was the city of the Yakshas, and he attacked it. And they fought back. And they, at first it was more or less a battle between the Yakshas themselves and Dhruva. And he used his military power. He was launching three arrows at a time at the Yakshas. And they were fighting back very heavily. They were launching six arrows at a time each. But somehow or other, he managed to defeat them. It looked like he was going to be victorious. But then the Yakshas, who have these mystic powers, attacked him with a big cloud of dust, a storm, and lightning, and bodies of dead bodies started falling out of the sky, and all kinds of weapons. And he managed to overcome the mystic powers of the Yakshas as well. And then he really began to demolish them. But then Swayambhuva Manu came down and told him, "You're overdoing it. You know, one Yaksha killed your brother, but you're attacking all kinds of Yakshas who had nothing to do with it." And when we see this comes up, you know, in current day warfare, you know, there's always the question, but what about, yes, you attack someone because they've attacked you, but then, you know, you wind up killing innocent people. Or even, and both sides do it. But so he agreed, Dhruva agreed to stop what he was doing. And Kuvera, who is leader of the Yakshas. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am Kuvera," who is also sometimes considered to be a Yaksha. So anyways, Kuvera was very pleased with Dhruva for moderating his anger and his retaliation against the Yakshas. So he said, "You can ask any benediction you want from me." So he's the treasurer of the demigods. He's in control of tremendous amounts of wealth. So if you were a king and you needed wealth and money to carry out your activities, build your palaces, equip your army, you might like some extra money. But he didn't ask for anything like that. He said, "I just want unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So and then another case where the Yakshas come up is in the Mahabharata. Srila Prabhupada makes reference to this incident where the Pandavas, during their time of exile, they were in the forest. So once a deer took on his horns the Aruni sticks that a Brahmin was using to make a sacred fire. So this deer somehow or other got them with his horns and ran off into the forest. So the Pandavas, Yudhisthira and his brothers, went after the deer. And it was hard trying to catch up with it. And they got very tired and hungry, and they came to this lake. And Nakula, Sahadev, went to the lake to get a drink. And when they went to the lake, there was a crane there that said, you can't take any water from this lake until you answer my questions. But they just kind of took it. And they died, apparently. And finally, Yudhisthira came, and he saw the crane that asked him, you know, these questions. And he answered all of the questions. There were about 50 or 60 of them, but Srila Prabhupada mentions the most important one, the last one. This crane was actually a yaksha, revealed himself to be a yaksha. And the last question that Yudhisthira had to answer was, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? And he said, the most wonderful thing is that everywhere around them, people can see that people are getting old, they're getting sick, they're dying, and they think it's not going to happen to them. I'm one of those people. But it's the most wonderful thing that we can see it all around us, but we think, I'm going to live forever. Or we may not think that, but we act like it. So then the yaksha then revealed himself to be Yamaraj, who was Yudhisthira's father. And you know, he said, okay, because you've done this, you know, your brothers will revive. And you know, so Srila Prabhupada mentions this account a few times, not in as much detail as it's given in the Mahabharata, but he still mentions it. So sometimes the yakshas are depicted in this way that they're depicted here as having these cannibalistic kind of impulses. And at other times, they're presented as more or less benign beings, you know, assistants of Kuvera. They're also mentioned in connection with Krishna's Dwarka pastimes. Sometimes Krishna would engage in sports with his queens, you know, spraying different liquid substances on each other, having pastimes in the water. And it's described they were like Kuvera enjoying with the yakshis in the gardens on, I think it's Mandara Mountain. You know, so he had his pleasure gardens there. So yakshi means female yaksha. So these beings are there, but and one may be born in the family of such beings, but one always has the choice, if we're presented with the opportunity, to choose a divine way of life, even though we may have been born in a demoniac situation and engaged in demoniac activities in the sense of not following the regulations of the Shastras. So I'll stop there. Any comments, questions? Bhagavati?
Thank you, Prabhu. Does that chance have to come in the form of an external opportunity? It's just right at the end of your class, it says there's always the chance if one is presented with the opportunity or something. I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but could it be just like at every moment there's the chance because Krishna's in their heart as the super soul, he's giving intelligence, and is it that they require an external arrangement, or is it that at any moment they could just choose to listen to the guidance, the good guidance of the super soul, and change their way of living and thinking?
Well, that's certainly possible, but usually, I think in most cases, it involves some external agent giving them the chance. Like, you are the chance. And everyone else who is engaged in preaching activities is the chance, you know, that Krishna is giving to a conditioned soul to become divine rather than demoniac in activity, thought, word, and deed. But there is an internal aspect to it. Krishna is present in the hearts of everyone. Sarvasichaham Ridisanivishto. I'm in the hearts of everyone. And he's observing. And if he sees that the soul has the slightest intention to turn towards him rather than turn away, Krishna will provide an opportunity. He'll bring that person in contact with a devotee somehow or other. And that's part of Krishna's way of manifesting himself externally as the Varma Pradarshika Guru or Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru ultimately. So Krishna's in the heart as the Chaitya Guru. So there is an internal aspect to it. But it usually manifests, as far as I can see, in the conditioned soul getting the opportunity to come in contact with a devotee who is going to give some either prasadam or a book or give them the opportunity to hear the holy name and chant and dance or something, seems to me. Svavas?
Thank you for a wonderful class. In verse 19, in the translation, I was wondering if you know any more about how Baba translates that night is the source of hunger and thirst. Have you? I know any more about that?
Well, the reason I didn't say anything about it is because Srila Prabhupada didn't say anything about it. But, I know I get hungry and thirsty at night. Maybe it's some remnant of my demoniac nature. But nighttime, apparently, if we look at all these verses, the demigods or the apsaras and gandharvas, they get to play with light. And the more demoniac personalities, they grab a hold of the darkness, the night. You walk around the neighborhood you know, maybe a block over or so. And, you know, the daytime things are pretty peaceful. At night, it kind of, everybody's, what are they doing? They're drinking and eating. You know, sometimes I go to Trader Joe's to get a few extra items. And on the way there, you can just observe at night, if I go in the daytime, things are very peaceful. At night, everybody's in the bars and the restaurants, eating and drinking things that we have renounced. So, seems there's some connection there. And you could say the yakshas and the rakshasas, they get the munchies at night, but what they eat or want to eat is not what we're serving out at Govindas or at the feast.
Yeah. Thank you. I kind of thought like that. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Hare Krishna.